Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
And so now when I hear, and by the way, I'm going to play this for you in just a second, where Terry Fontenot was asked about his job security yesterday and what he had to say. And I do respect what he's saying, because I don't think anybody gets up and is worried about whether you're going to be fired or not today unless you just suck at your job. But there are people who think that he does, that he's not good at his job for not putting a winner together. Mike, do you believe in the process? What is it in your mind that we're trying to do?
Well, look, the offense is exciting, and I do think I really – first things first, Michael Penix Jr. is getting people excited about this football team. So even if you weren't, you know, you weren't excited about Cousins, and how could you not be when we were 6-3 and everything was rolling? But I think the fact that you had as many people that showed up for what in essence was a meaningless game, I know we had a slim chance to get in there, and for a minute it looked promising with New Orleans. But I think Penix Jr. in your offense, Bijan is a superstar. Drake's finally got a guy that can get him the ball reliably. You know, with Mooney, we got all these weapons. Look, Pitts, maybe they can fix Pitts. Maybe they move on from Pitts. To me, the process has to be fixing the defense. I don't know if this general manager can do that. He hasn't shown the ability to put pass rush on the field. So I trust half of the process. I don't trust the part of the process which builds our defense.
And that's fair. Here's Terry Fontenot addressing his job security. Listen to this.
No, I'm not, Mark. I just don't think, and that's not coming from an arrogant place. I just don't think about that. Sure. You know, I don't think, I believe my job is to come in every day and be as effective as I can. I don't think about my mortality or my job security and things like that and worry about, I worry more about doing the very best I can. I know it's an honor and a privilege to be in this role, and I just want to come in and do the very best I can to affect winning, and that's what I think about.
So, Mike, I'm with you. And by the way, I respect him for saying that. Like, it's not arrogant to say we don't worry about our jobs. I'm not. But I understand that there's a pressure that comes with producing and you know, delivering. And I think, Terry, he's right about that. If you get up and worry about that every day, you're going to drive yourself crazy. But there is a point where you have – if you're failing and you're not winning and not making the playoffs and not getting to your mark – that at some point they look at you and say, okay, we may need to turn the page. And so I don't know if I believe in the process either, because it just hasn't produced enough winning. And I don't know what the process is, Mike. You're right. The defense has to be fixed for whatever reason. Like, why hasn't it been fixed yet? It's not as if he hasn't had an opportunity.
Exactly. But this goes back, and I told Carl yesterday when we were leaving Twin Peaks, I said, I am never, well, that's a lie, never going to go into full detail about why we should have did this or that. But I will say this, without getting back into the conundrum of the Cousins and or Penix, this is why I just say, amongst other things, yes, at the time, Carl, we were like, okay, we got Kirk Cousins. If he can bounce back from the Achilles, you and I said, okay, he's a 30-touchdown, 10-interception guy. He's going to throw for 4,000 yards plus, and that should be good. And we were excited about that. And then we found out, oh, we're getting Michael Penix Jr. Okay. I always felt one or the other, because to the point about the defense, you could have been involved for, if you feel that Danielle Hunter was never coming to Atlanta, well, how about go get Jonathan Grenard? How about get some of the other guys that are real proven edge rushers? You know, you didn't draft Nick Benito. I talked about that the other day. You went for Troy Anderson, a guy that was a project. You had a guy that was coming out of Oklahoma as a fire-breathing linebacker that gets after it. So I just don't know if you can trust him to do the things you need to do, because you missed a golden opportunity to fix your defense through free agency, but you just allocated $100 million guarantee to a quarterback who's now going to be a backup. So that's also part of the package. Terry Fontenot has not done it necessarily the right way in free agency, and in, if we're honest, in the draft.
Yeah. That when I hear
Bates
this word.
Jesse Bates was great. Judon, he rolled the dice with Judon and Simmons. He came up snake eyes.
Yeah, I agree. And again, so, you know, you're not batting 400, but none of these general managers are when it comes to those kind of moves. I'm with you. The draft to me is more concerning, because that's where you have plenty of time. Guys, they don't just pick these players in a vacuum and like, oh, we got 2 weeks. Who are we going to go get? I talk about this every spring. Like, there's so much work that goes into understanding who these players are and what they can do for your team and how you want to, you know, insert them. And so when you continue to not hit And I'm talking about guys that contribute. I'm not even talking about superstar type players, just guys that contribute. It makes me wonder what this process is. You guys can let us know. 404-726-0929. We'd love to hear from you guys on our text line. We can see that. And certainly, you know, you can hit us up on social media. Mike Bell, ATL. I may put them up. See Dukes. And the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. It's just something that I think, Mike, we're going to spend a lot of time on as we get into this offseason. You know, we'll have the wild card games this weekend. We'll talk more about that. We're going to get to the divisional round, then the championship round, and then Super Bowl, and then Super Bowl hangover. And then, believe it or not, as frustrated as I am, I'm going to have to start having hope again, because I have to.
Right.
I have to have hope that they're going to be able to do what they're telling me they're going to be able to do. And I had a buddy of mine hit me up a couple of days ago, Mike. He heard our show, and he said, you know, you got to give Raheem and company some slack, man. It's their first year. And I understand that. But I also understand that he inherited a much better team than a lot of guys. Yes, the only thing, Mike, he didn't have was quarterback. Like, Harbaugh gets a quarterback when he takes that job. So then they went out and bought a quarterback, and we still failed.
Yeah, anybody who's saying you got to cut Raheem slack, I can't jibe that, man. He's not a rookie coach. This guy's been in the NFL for 23 years. He was one of the younger head coaches, but he has the experience. He was an interim here. He interviewed for the job after Dan Quinn got fired, and he ran the team. Not much happened that year. But, guys, it's not like first time he's been on a sideline. He did great things in L.A. He's a great defensive coordinator. But the strategy stuff, the inconsistency with when we're going for it, when we're not, I just felt that's stuff you've learned over two decades in the league. That's not like, oh boy, it's a learning curve, my ass. We got Kirk Cousins to go win 10 or 11 games and get in the playoffs this year.
That's right. And that's why I'm having a tough time saying that as well. We want to know what you think. It's something, again, this process, and we know he just spoke yesterday. I mean, this is not the Raiders. Arthur Blank is not Mark Davis. They're not firing Terry Fontenot, okay? And I'm not saying that they should. We all have our thoughts. But I told you, the clock starts over when you allow a GM to stay on when you hire a new coach. It just does. And so he spoke. He's staying the course. They're going to stay the course with him. Ra's not going anywhere. And it feels like this staff is going to stay together. Right now it does. Maybe we're wrong, and maybe they make a change in a few weeks. But that's kind of where I am right now. And then I say, okay, can they correct all the things that went wrong this year, and how do they get better players, Mike? And how do they get these guys that already are here to perform better? That's my thing, too. Development matters, dude.
Right, and we've got to develop a couple of guys here. I mean, Rook, that's another one. You know, Rukoro, we love what he did in the small sample size when he came on, but still, that's another one where there were other pieces that were, you know, needed here in the secondary. I mean, they love Hughes. We asked him all the time about the secondary in the preseason, and I still think there were four or five guys. There was a second tier of corners. It's not as good, certainly, as the guys who went in the first round, Carl, but there were some names and guys that are getting reps, guys that are more than just nickel this year, and we passed that for a dude that they believe they can develop. He better become the next big thing on defensive line. You know, right. I mean, if he can become a Jonathan Babineau type, okay, that's a good starting point for a second round pick. You mentioned Ebiketie. Can you get more out of Ebiketie, or is that the ceiling? Is Troy Anderson going to stay healthy? What's going on with the rest of these guys? I mean, we're going to have to draft some more guys, and do you trust him to draft the right edge rusher this year? Because I don't think you could say, well, we're going to find an edge rusher in the second or third. No. It's got to be a first-round allocation.
It does. All right, more on this to come as we discuss. And, again, this is all the fallout from not making the playoffs. I mean, we could have made the playoffs this weekend. We actually could have lost, and I think we'd all feel more satisfied than not making the playoffs and being where we were. And it all sucks at the end of the day because we're still not winning Super Bowls. But, Mike, that's how I feel. Like, if we had just gotten in, I'd feel a lot better about how this season may have gone. But losing the way we did the last few weeks and not getting in and I think it just makes it worse. I do.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, we actually, had we won the division, we would have been in the same spot as Tampa Bay because we would actually have a better conference record than the LA Rams. We would have been the 3 seed. How about that? I mean, it's not just, you know, I mean, we talked about, okay, you'd be playing the Vikings. We would have rematched with the Commanders potentially. So, yep. I mean, that's even more frustrating because I would have liked our chances bringing the Commanders to Atlanta.